understand it better by and by. Sing me a verse.
We are often tossed and driven on this restless sea of time. Somber skies and howling tempests all succeed the bright sunshine. But in that land of perfect day, when the mist has rolled away, we will understand it better by and by. Of the things that life demands, want a food, want a shelter, thirsty hills and barren lands. We are trusting in the Lord and according to His word, we're gonna understand it better by and by.
Oh, yes, now by and by,
oh,
when the morning comes, when all the saints of God
somebody say praise the Lord. Oh, you can beat that. Somebody say praise the Lord.
Isn't it good to be in church this morning? How many of you enjoyed service here last night? How many of you appreciate the word of the Lord? Oh, aren't you glad that God's teaching us His word this morning? Praise the Lord. What a privileged people we are to have a good ministry. What a privileged people we are to sit under such a precious word that we get to sit under, Brother Terry. God is certainly wonderful to us, and we certainly want to thank Him for all He's done. All He is doing and all He is going to do.
Amen.
Amen. Shake somebody's hand this morning. Tell them you're glad to see him in church on Sunday morning, April the 1st, 2012. Good to see all of you. God bless you. Good to see you. Good to see you too, buddy. Sing that verse, Trials Dark on Every Hand.
Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But He guides us with His eye, and we follow till we die. We will understand it better by and by.
Let's look at our prayer request this morning. Brother Carter sends this in to please pray for Ed Whited. Lots of health problems. We just commit that unto the Lord today. Brother Joel Brown sends this prayer request in. My oldest niece, Terry, has requested that we call her name before the Lord as she needs to be loosed from a nicotine demon. She has a sincere desire to be free. Also pray for her salvation. So let's remember those needs as we pray for that person today, that the Lord would be mindful. Jerry Thompson called this morning. His boss has suffered a stroke, a very serious condition. We want to remember that need as we pray. Also, Jerry and Brenda's son-in-law, Josh, is going to be going to Afghanistan. So they're asking that we would pray that the Lord would just be with him, give him protection while he's there in that part of the world. Matter of fact, let's just pray for all of our service personnel, that God would be mindful of them. I want to pray for Brother Darrell Ward. He is scheduled to have an MRI on his back on Tuesday, so we certainly want to pray for our brother that the Lord would just touch him and be with him. Also, Sister Natalie Yance is having severe problems with radiation treatments. She's also back in the hospital in Illinois. Please continue to remember her in prayer. So we certainly want to remember Sister Natalie, that the Lord would just be mindful of her. Sister Deanna sends this in for her boss's father, who has lung cancer, not doing good. So let's pray for that need as we pray today. Also, Sister Jan Hall. There was some confusion last night, and it's probably on my part. I said Sister Jan Winters. There was two requests. One was for Jan Hall, one was for Jan Winters, and I think I linked them both to Sister Jan Winters. But anyway, I want to pray for Sister Jan Hall, who is still in the hospital and has a bronchial infection and cannot have surgery until the infection is clear. Please remember her in prayer. The request last night was read for Sister Jan Winters in air, so we apologize for that. Sister Jan, I believe, is here in the service today, and she's doing better. Bless her heart. We're glad to have her in the service with us today. And all of you, may God richly bless you for being here. If you have an unspoken prayer request this morning, something you'd like for this assembly to pray about, we know that we're serving a God that's bigger. We say it every service, but it's because it's the truth every service. God is bigger than whatever our problems are. Do you believe that with all your heart? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Brother Terry, come this morning. Lead us to the Lord. Let's invite His presence into this service and ask Him to have His will and all these requests. Love you, buddy.
Can we join our faith together as we look to the Lord on behalf of these needs? Father, as we come to you this morning, first we want to say, welcome. Lord, would you come and meet with us? Would you take the uppermost seat? Would you come and speak to our hearts as we, first of all, we want to lift up our hands to praise you. We want to think about you. We want to invite your presence into this place. Lord, we know we brought you with us, but Lord, we want you to have preeminence in the service. And this is just not another protracted service, but truly we want to divorce our thoughts from yesterday or tomorrow and truly concentrate on you. Lord, when we even think about this song, how we'll tell that story of how we overcome. Lord, when people write a novel and they don't know much till down the end how the end ends up, well, we know how ours is end up because it's already been prophesied in the Bible. And we can tell the story how we overcome, but this will be a short story, just one word. That's Christ. We will overcome by Christ. Also, Christ gave us the ability, Lord, to have faith, but it's your faith, Lord, and we give you praise and honor for all of it. We're thankful that we can be in the house of God. Lord, I'm thankful for those testimonies, those that have been touched, but I pray, Lord, for those requests, especially Brother Darrell. He's had such a tremendous problem, Lord, with his back. And Lord, the enemy's tried to just put him down, but Lord, you're the lifter up of our soul, and you're the lifter up of his body, and you can make him well, and you will make him well. And Lord, I trust that they'll find nothing on the MRI because he'll be well before Tuesday. God, I pray that you'll be with Brother Amos as he goes and give him, Lord, not only a victory in the service, help him, Lord, physically, that you'll just give him strength. Lord, Brother David Seiler is over there and different ones ministering the gospel. Lord, I pray for Sister Natalie. You know what she's going through, and help her through these tremendous, tremendous hard times. You're never present help in a time of trouble, Lord, but why the enemy seems to just afflict her and trying to pound her again. But Lord, we're praying for her. We know, Lord, one day this will all be over, but I believe, Lord, we can have faith for her to be delivered on this side of eternity. We're asking, Lord, for each request that I hold in my hands, that you'll help these, touch them, make them well, bring deliverance. Give us, Lord, the word of the Lord this morning, and may we pull on the gift of God. May we feed on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. May we have a reassurance in our heart who our bridegroom is and who our lover is and what our focus is and what our purpose is and what our desires are, who's on the throne of our heart. That's how we know whether or not we're truly been born again, because we know who is on the throne of our heart. What is our greatest desire and our passion and our love and our purpose in life? Christ in us, the hope of glory. Touch each one, heal each one, bring to pass, Lord, the desired result of each request that's been written down, and we'll give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Brother Terry. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. Want to welcome all of you to the service. If you're visiting with us today, we certainly want to welcome you. Those that are streaming the service, may God richly bless those folks as well. And we've got more specials than we're going to have room to work in today. So you bear with me, and we'll do the best that we can in the time that we have to work with. Remember this, there will not be any service here this coming Wednesday night. The buses will be here to pick up all of our young people, and I guess maybe a couple of buses that are going to be leaving here on Wednesday afternoon, going to the Louisiana Youth Camp. Brother West, I guess you're going, and you're going to take care of all these young people. You're going to have some help, I'm sure. But we just pray that our young people will come back revived, filled with the Holy Ghost from foot to the top of their head. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's sing a song this morning. Precious Jesus. Aren't you glad He's the most precious thing that you can think of today? That name, there's something about it that drives out all fear, drives out all doubt when you begin to talk about that precious name. Let's sing it with all of our heart this morning. Precious Jesus, sweet rose of Sharon. of course, we're standing on holy ground. Let's sing that little chorus this morning. We are standing on holy ground. Brother Caleb, if you'll come onto the platform and be getting ready to sing. The choir is going to give us a song this morning. So we got actually got four or five songs, and I'm going to do the best I can. Now, if any of you get mad that you're not getting to sing this morning, sing for us Wednesday night. Come up here and just sing to your heart's content on Wednesday night. And just have a good time. Just put on a concert. There might not be nobody here to listen to you, but you'll get to sing. Amen. We're going to do the best we can. Praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say I'm in a real good mood today. Oh, the rest of you's mad as a hornet, so I can tell. Give Jesus a big hand clap of praise if you love him. Amen. There's two people that I can say stuff like I just said to, and they won't get mad at me. One's Greg, and the other one's my brother-in-law, Bernie. And I can say this thing all you just want to, because there won't be nobody there to hear you. And they don't get mad, so I hope nobody else gets mad. But let's sing this little chorus together. We're standing on holy ground. You know what Christ is to us today? It's more than the world could ever give you. I noticed in the paper that the big lottery that was given away, or somebody won it, $213 million per person, the three people that won it. Now, you know, for the next good while, they're going to be probably not even walking on the ground. They're going to be walking in the clouds more. But you know something? There'll be a time that might be the worst thing that ever happened to them. There'll be a time that will be a curse instead of a blessing. But I'm telling you, what we've got in God, we may be as poor as we can be, but what we've got is something that $213 million can't even touch. Can't even begin to touch what you've got this morning. Hallelujah. We are standing on holy ground, and I know there are angels. Ushers, if you'll come. Caleb, come, and then the choir, as soon as Brother Caleb gets through, Brother Brad, you get him ready.
as the accuser led me away. That's when my Savior stepped in, and I know He paid all the debt for all the pain, carried my cross, took all my blame. Sin had me bound, shame and defeat. When the verdict read guilty, said I am free. Grace signed my pardon, mercy forgave.
Question 5. day three, his body's missing. The stone was rolled away.
Praise the Lord. Did you enjoy that this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Time to go on into the service. Our pastor's going to come bring us the word of the Lord today. How many of you are going to pray for him? Ask God to give you something today in this service. I believe he'll do that. Brother Harry, sing us a chorus, and we'll go right on into the service this morning.
What a mighty God Jesus is. Oh, what a mighty God Jesus is. Heaven and earth adore Him. His people bow before. What a mighty God Jesus is.
God bless you today. Let's turn to the book of Ephesians, if you would. We'll look at His greatness, how it's expressed to us human beings. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. We'd like to read them down through the verse 23, the scriptures that we read last night. And I wish to speak to you again today on the thought of from the feet to the head. Listen as Paul expresses the manifestation of God's grace through Christ, through the church, and actually Christ getting his position. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now I want you to think, if you're in that today, in that mystical body, what a blessed person you are. Let's read verse 22 and 23 again, if you wouldn't mind. And hath put all things under his feet. His feet. Not his head. Now his feet is his body. All things under his feet. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now let's read also from Christ revealing his own word. Brother Bram says the entire Bible is the entire revelation of Jesus Christ, making himself known to every age. Now listen how he does this, making himself known to every age. He made himself known in the days of Luther as a foundation, the church, the foot, the legs, like he did King Nebuchadnezzar. You remember. Now notice how he parallels this, how he dreamed those dreams and come from the head down. Now he comes from the feet up. See, in the Babylonian kingdom, he showed all those Old Testaments. He come from the head down, until he come down till God himself become flesh at the foot of the ladder. Now here in the New Testament, he brings his self. Amen. He brings his self right back up again to the head again. The head of gold to be crowned. I may like to be remembering a prayer today. Heavenly Father, thank you today, Lord Jesus, that we can be sitting under the auspices of Christ himself. How grateful we are today that we are not Catholics, we are not Baptists, we're not Pentecostals by denomination, that we're not message people by denomination, but we are Christians. Word born, spirit filled, and word fed. Lord, I pray that you would take your rightful position in this service today. I do not desire your place, nor I don't think anyone here sensible would desire your place in this service. We have a position. We have a part to play. Each person that's here, whether they sang or clapped their hands or they absorbed that which was being ministered from, each one of us have a position. But none of us in our right mind wants yours. So this position can only be filled by you. Would you come, Lord Jesus, and take the preeminent part of this service? Anoint us, I pray, from your great being. Help us, Father, that we can receive from the hand of God and the mouth of God. In Jesus' name. And the saints said, Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. What a great program our Father has so designed. Deciding to do it in two major dispensations of the Old Testament and the New, and then dividing each of those major dispensations into ages or time frames by which He would give a certain allotment of His Word and would give a certain power that would come with that allotment that would help the people that lived in that day to be able to understand what God was doing, not just by reading it, not just by hearing it alone, but actually by becoming what they were hearing. And God, as we looked at it last night, designed an Old Testament body, a body that still remained with many faults, a body that certainly was not perfect, a perfect product, could not be produced by the law, could not be produced by the prophets. But it's a strange saying how God designed that body, that in the making of the body over thousands of years through the progression of the Word, that once He would set the head down on that incomplete, imperfect body, somehow the perfect head would take it all into a great union and perfect the entire thing. Insomuch that they would be allowed to enter into Him, with Him, into His resurrection. And yet, knowing that He also has something similar in mind for the New Testament, and thinking if we could have lived really in any age in the New Testament age, it would have been a great honor to be a partaker of God's grace and God's mercy. But somehow God in His sovereignty allowed us to live in the greatest of all ages. Truly, it is the most difficult, hard, and all that sort of thing. But yet to think that God would allow us by His mercy, I believe mercy granted to us, to live in the last age. The last, the very capping off of all the ages. I count it an honor, don't you? It would truly have been an honor to live in the days of Paul or to live in the days of the Reformation and see the things that God did. To live in the days of the Pentecostal age. And I was privileged to live a little bit at the last of that age, as some of you were. But yet to come into this age, the golden age, the grand age, the most illumination of all ages. I count it a great privilege. And being in that, knowing that it is not just for our honor that God has let us live in this age. But this is the consummation of all the ages, the building, the climax, the closing, the capping off of all the works that God has done, the capping off of the past works, the leading to the finished work in the eighth day into the eternity. For in this, it involves everything of the future. For this age not only caps off the ages which have been in the past, but it also finishes that which has been consummated by the grace of God, and it leads to the future day when there will be no need for grace. Now, I know it's hard for us to imagine, but one day we will enter into a time that there will no longer be a dispensation necessary for mercy. There will no longer be a dispensation for faith in the sense that faith is the substance of things hoped for. But when we get that which we've hoped for, we don't need faith any longer. But we actually move into the realm of the eternal, so we no longer need mercy, we no longer need grace, we no longer need redemption, we no longer need pardon, we no longer need prayer. Think of it now. We no longer need these things that have been set in the motion and the cycle of time because eternity has rolled around again. Can you imagine that there'll be a time that you will no longer need the means of prayer to go to the Lord Jesus, but actually you will walk up before His throne. There He will sit on the great throne of God, the great eternal, the great light, the great emanating power of God will be around Him. You will not need to kneel down and bow your head and close your eyes and speak to Him through the means of prayer. But you will be able to speak to Him face to face, one on one. You will no longer need blood. You will no longer need mercy. You will no longer need an intercessor. All that will be absolutely done away with. You will be able to know Him as Adam did of old. And you'll be able to enter into that presence. Oh my, how long for that time.
But we're so grateful that God has included us in that. And you know, we realize for the position that He's giving us now is only a portrayal or a future unfolding of what we will have in that day. Because as we see His face revealed through the word of the hour, it gives us a pretty good insight of where we will be in the eternal kingdom. So God had unfolded in the Old Testament. Of course, it was only in types and shadows, and only the elect would have been able to see it, and no doubt even many of them did not have a perfect portrayal of what it was, because God was building a mystical body in type. So He would show a little symbol here, a little typology there. He would give a certain color in the tabernacle here. He would give a crimson. He would give a red. He would give a blue. They didn't know exactly what all it was about, but they would know that blue meant the heavens, the bread meant redemption. They knew the silver meant redemption, brass meant judgment, gold meant deity, and there would be certain things that would try to put it all together and make the story, but there's no way they could, because they was looking from the other side of the cross. And then when Paul comes on this side of the cross and begins to write the book of Hebrews and bring many of those types and shadows together, then we look back from there and we look back from this side of the cross, and through the cross we're able to look back and the story unfolds itself in such a beautiful way. And the same way the opening of the seals, Luther, West at Pentecost, trying to understand what's God doing, what's God got in His mind. Before the opening of the seals, the view was not clear. But here we are on this side, after the seals has been opened, and we look back, and then justification, sanctification, restoration of gifts, why we needed a prophet, why we needed to be restored. On this side of the seals, it makes much, so much more sense than it did on the other side. And you see, even when you're setting the message of the hour, you realize you must follow it very carefully. Because things that Brother Branham would said on the other side of the seals, many of those things changed. Many of those things changed. Even as he was preaching the seals, be careful when you study the seals themselves. Because they are still unfolding to him night after night after night. There's things he says in the breach. By the time he comes to the end of the seventh seal, it has already changed. At the breach, he believes there were seven seals on the inside and seven seals on the outside, making a total of 14 seals. He believes them seals is not even written in the Word of God. But by the time he gets done, he realizes it was not something that had not been revealed. It was something that was already there but must be made known. Come on, church. So we stand on this side, and what are we watching? We're watching God unfold His great plan. Now that shouldn't offend us, because that's the way He's always done it. If God didn't do Brother Branham that way, He would break the pattern of what He's done for thousands of years. Now God would not break the pattern for Brother Branham just to humor some of you Branhamites, but He's going to follow the same pattern. He's going to follow the same pattern with us. My, the very same God that I love tonight is the very same God that when I was a wee boy, I used to pray to Him and thinking there was three. I was baptized in titles that broke the ice down there at Otter Creek in Kentucky and baptized me as a little boy in January, and I prayed to three gods. I'm glad He didn't mark me off because I was a heathen. Because that also meant He knocked some of you off because you was a heathen with me. That's right. But yet, what did He do? He allowed to the understanding that I had at the time, knowing that that was not who I was. I was not going to remain there. I was going to grow and grow and grow. And maybe we look back next year if the Lord tarries, or 2 years from now, and we'll look back and say, man, I was so ignorant about this and that and the other. How in the world could God love me so much? Because He's not looking at your ignorance. He's not looking at where you are in time. He's looking at what your full potential is going to be. So here as God unfolds the mystery of the mystical body in the Old Testament, and then the head comes down, sets down on the body of the Word, and takes all of the elect in the resurrection. Now what's in Paul in Ephesians 4:15? We read this last night, but let's read it again today. Speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head. Now notice the direction that the bride must grow. We must grow up into Him. We're not growing up to the image of Donnie Reagan, some other preacher, or what somebody else thinks, but we're growing up into the image of Him, which is the head, even Christ. Now, the Gentile kingdoms started at the head and worked down, but God is working on His body, bringing it up. Now, watch how Brother Ann parallels this, again, in Christ revealed in His own word. There's not one sun in the morning and another sun in the afternoon. It's the same sun. The same sun in the afternoon is in the morning. morning, and he said the same morning as in the afternoon. Now it said the day itself, the day between that time, will be kind of like a dismal day, a dark day. Now notice the church ages, the allotment of time, the spiritual light of God almost went out. And they were in such Catholicism, such creeds, such tradition of men, but God had something in his mind. What was it? The reconstruction of that mystical body. Now, in that time, it was a dark, dismal day. It seemed like there was nothing going on. But notice how Brother Branham even allows that time frame to the folding of the unfolding of the making of a body. He said, see, that's the forming of the body. From the feet coming up when he was on the earth, he was the sun, the lightness. Then he was killed. The church took his place. Then martyrdom went through the dark ages and began to build on the foundation coming out. Then where does the sight come from? At the top of the head. See that vision, Nebuchadnezzar? See him going down from the beginning of the Gentile age before the blood was shed for them and made an atonement. They were proselytes brought in. But notice it went right down, right down, right down to the bottom in symbol. See, he brought it down. Then it started right back, coming back. The church coming back from the feet, coming up. Now it's in the head time. Head time. Glory. Now it's in the head time. We're not in the feet time. We still got feet. Thank God. We got legs. We got all them parts of the body. But the emphasis of this hour is not feet time. So if all you want to do is dance, you're in the wrong dispensation. All you want to do is scream and holler, you're in the wrong dispensation. It's head time. Do we still dance? Sure. Do we still believe in miracles? Sure. But the emphasis of this day is not a repeat of Pentecost. Now I realize, friends, a lot of the message folks had never really seen a genuine Pentecostal move. Many of you all, probably even sitting here today, come from Baptist, Methodist, Church of God. So you come straight from that, straight into the message. And you never seen a lot of miracles, you never seen a lot of signs and wonders. So whenever a Pentecostal move will try to merge itself into the message of the hour, they have always termed it the Bride's Revival. Because it added something to the message that many of the message people had never seen. So whether it was seven thunders, whether it was, you know, whatever name we want to call it, it brought an emotion, it brought ecstatic joy, it brought such a move, and it raised their faith, because many of the message people had never seen that. But why would God want to keep adding the same thing over again? You're going to take a tongue and stick a tongue on the brain? Are you going to take a foot and stick a foot in the brain? Are you going to take a tooth or lips and stick it on the brain? And say, this is what you need, brain. You need a tongue. Studying this week, and after preaching it last night, I told Carolson, you know, I realize now why. When I went to some of the message churches and some of the message meetings, and they think they're having heaven on earth. And all it is a repeat of what I saw 30 years ago. And they think it's the greatest thing. Oh my goodness gracious, boy, this is it. This is, and I'm sitting there thinking, what is wrong with me? What is wrong with me? Why am I not hanging off the chandeliers? Why am I not walking on my hands and just screaming and hollering and yelping like that? What is wrong with me? Some of y'all ought to be saying amen, because you've thought the same thing I have. Glory. And yet others say, oh man, this is it. Glory to God. Don't why I take glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. What? Brother, we're seeing healings. I told you last time, friend. I saw miracles, signs, wonders. I saw kinds of those things. And Pentecost. You mean this is what the bride's going to get in order to finish her off is a repeat, Brother Jim, of what we saw 40 years ago? If it didn't cap them off then, how is it going to cap me off now? Do I still enjoy that? I do, but in its right place. I believe in speaking in tongues. I still do. Ooh. Brother Donnie, you don't. I do. It's wonderful. I still feel his presence. I love it. But that's not my emphasis. Oh, glory. Think nothing. God is building a body, building a body, building a body. I notice every one of those so-called bride revivals. Where one of them today that's got life? They're divided and split and go here and there and there. Notice he's forming of the body from the feet coming up. Now Christ, of course, when he was here and he left his position open so the church would take his place. Now notice this in paragraph 152. You can't see with your hands, yet it's part of the body. You can't see with the ears, yet it can hear. You can't see with the nose, yet it smells. You can't see with the lips, though it speaks. That was the Pentecostal age. But now, it's the eye time. Notice the year. 8-22-65. It's the eye time. The seeing. Now there isn't one moving faculty above the eye. Brother Bram said, that's why men go bald headed. Realize that? That's what he said. That's why men go bald headed, because of the thickness of the scalp and there's no exercise. Your wives go in the scene, your husband's thinking. Now, in every part of the body, in every stage, there was physical, seeable movement. Except from here up. Movement from the feet up. But when it comes from here up to here, no movement. Because the next part, notice, the intelligence is not on the outside. The feet is the outside. The ankles, the legs, the thighs, all that, it's at the outside. The eyes are the outside, but the intelligence is inside. So it moves from just a physical manifestation. Oh, glory to God, I believe I got it. Hallelujah, I got sanctified, I got it. I believe the message, I got it. But it moves from the outside display to the inside. And then it'll prove if you've got it, if you know what to do with the word. You see? Hallelujah! That can be impersonated. Glory to God! That can be impersonated. Hallelujah! I believe God sent a prophet. That can be impersonated. But the intelligence cannot be impersonated. God sends prophets. Satan sends false ones. God gives genuine gifts. Satan gives out false ones. God sends preachers. Satan sends out false ones. God starts a church. Satan sends out a false one. God gives the mind to Christ. Satan's a dummy. Satan ain't got no mind of Christ to give out. He can send a false prophet, a false pastor, a false singer, but he don't have no divine intelligence to give out. Notice, no moving motion. Beyond that, everything else has moved. See? Move your feet. Move your muscles and your legs. Your lips. Your ears can move. Your nose can move. But after your eyes, there's nothing moves. So we go from a moving time to a changing time. Now my brain, you don't see it move, but it's constantly changing. This is the realm of thought, psyche. So even though you don't see it, I don't see it, but thousands of messages are going on in my brain and yours every day. It's sensing color, it's sensing temperature, it's sensing all kinds of things and constantly sending messages all through my body to regulate according. And yet you're sitting there looking at me, not one thing going on. I might sit so perfectly still, not move an eyelash. not batting my eye. And thousands of things are going on in order to allow me to keep my facial features from moving. Yet you're looking at me and you're not saying something. I went to church and I don't think I got nothing. You just don't have no idea what was going on. You're trying to compare where you are right now to Pentecost. Or you're trying to compare what you was to 4 or 5 years ago. Don't you understand as it moves and it moves and it moves and it moves and it moves into the intelligence? We're not moving just because, well, so-and-so thinks I ought to. Forget it. I don't want this church to be run by the intelligence of man. I want it to be run by the intelligence of God. What? So after their eyes, there's nothing that moves. Now we find out that that part, you see, there is nothing beyond the eye. Again, he says, then come in the Pentecostal age, the different fingers and things, and the Pentecostal age of tongues and nose and so forth. Father, a lot of Pentecostal people are so nosy. So it lets me know a lot of the message folks are still under that nose dispensation. They're nosy too. Some of y'all ought to say amen, because some of y'all, that's what you are. You're just a big fat walking nose around this church. You got yourself into everybody's business. Why don't you mind your own? This ain't the nose time. Oh, Jesus, that was good. They didn't like it, but I did. Now, notice he says, oh my. Then come in the Pentecostal age. Fingers, things, Pentecostal age of tongues and nose and so forth. Now it's in the eyes. What good will you need eyes or need light if the eyes wasn't there to see? There has to be eyes first to see. Then when that come, he opened the seven seals and revealed the evening light. Now notice, it would not do any good to give the opening of the seals in the days of Luther. The feet couldn't see it. No need to give in the days of Wesley. The hips, the thighs, they couldn't see it. No need to give it to the Pentecostals because there's slobber all over it. So God pulled back the seals when? When the eyes was on the earth. You understand? Now what's he doing? Not discrediting the elect in those moves now. He opened the seven seals and revealed the evening light. So in view of the statement, I wonder when the evening light actually began. Well, glory. I mean, sorry, I didn't mean to lose y'all there. I thought y'all was with me here. He opened the seven seals and revealed the evening light, taking all the mysteries that's been hid down through these church ages and now revealed them as he promised to do in Revelation 10, 1 to 7. Here we are today, sitting in the midst of the Word. Lord Jesus. And the Word being revealed to us. By Jesus Christ. And he is the intelligence. You see the people in the message, many of them want to make the eyes Jesus Christ. Oh no, the brain is Jesus Christ, the intelligence. So the Word is being revealed to us by the intelligence, speaking at that time through what? Not the tongues, not the fingers, not all that, but through the eyes. So the Word was being revealed to us by Jesus Christ himself. Amen. So then I wonder when Brother Branham was left, gone, taken from the earth. Now where are we now? Yes. Who's preaching to us now? Right. Now watch. He says, if we could throw ourselves completely to God, and to his will, and be lost to our own thoughts, and just let the mind of Christ be in us, the same operation of the Spirit would work through us just as the natural things does. If we could get aside our carnal thinking, our carnal mind, Brother Dale, and let the supernatural flow through us, it would be like you brothers getting up of a morning, putting on your britches, putting on your socks. And you've got a pattern to it, no doubt. You put on your left one first or your right one first, whichever your preference is. You slip them feet down in them shoes, depending upon which what you're going to do during the day, which shoes you pick out. Could it be so that we could so get ourselves out of the way, and we could move beyond the thinking of feet and thighs and tongues, and even move to the spot to where we realize the emphasis of this hour is not us becoming Branhamites. It's not us becoming Reaganites, but us becoming Christians. And say, Lord God, what do you want me to do? What's the reason I'm here on the earth, Lord? And let the mind of Christ Jesus live through us. It would be as natural to us in our soul as getting up and putting our socks on of a morning. But as long as we listen to the word with our carnal mind, I don't understand what Brother Donnie's saying. I don't think he ought to say that. I don't think. And then you wonder why you don't get much out of church. I don't agree with that. I think I'll do this, and I think, well, apparently the Lord must have figured that I was more called to be in this position than you are. That's why I'm here and you're there. Right? That's why God called ministers, that they would become the very voice of Christ Himself. That they would be so captivated by the Spirit of God, and He could speak His pregnated word through their lips, and it would catch the very soul of the bride. Friend, I don't want to just minister to your body. I don't want to just minister to your spirit, but I want to get out of the way so much that the Lord Jesus can reach down inside of your soul. Watch this from the spoken word's original seed. I know you're familiar with this quote, but I love it. It's so powerful. Here is the secret. The word is in the bride. And the mind of Christ to know what he wants done with the word. Now, if having the word will give you eternal life, then look for the devil, because he'll be in heaven too. If being able to quote it, pack it around, talk about it, and preach it. If I could invite the devil to come to this pulpit this morning and we'd give him 30 minutes, y'all probably vote him as pastor. He could out-preach every preacher in this church. He could out-preach Paul. He could out-preach, no doubt, many of those men in that day. He knows exactly how to do it. He has charisma. He has all types of things about him, but that's not the way we know a man. So it's not just having the word. It's almost like, oh, we got our Bible and we got all the tapes, and it's like just having it. It's all we want. I don't want to just have it. I want to know what to do with it. Tell me what to do with what I've got. The prophet, living at the closing end of the age of Pentecost, going and being seen in their meetings, being identified in their meetings. Many of the lit people got benefited by his gift. First and second Paul was really for the lips and the ears anyway. Oh, some of us got caught by it, but it's just because it's where we were. It wasn't because you was a lip or an ear. You're supposed to be something else, but it caught your attention. But then God ultimately was going to move this message out of the lips. Oh, brothers, we're all brothers. My, you know, Jesus said he give the Holy Ghost to them that obey him. You was baptized in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and you was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. He give both of you the Holy Ghost. Which one obeyed him? You say, how could you say that? I just quoted to you a quote. Because the eyes started out in the lips. Funny place for eyes. In the mouth. But the body was growing. the body. Watch the growth as the eyes grows out until finally the mouth expels him.
That's right.
And they spit him out. He could never gain his position in the bride body as long as Pentecost was sheltering him. So they had to throw him out. Write him off. Cut him off. All you sisters, put up your hair. Brother M's coming to town. He'll preach on you. Why don't you teach these women how to prophesy and speak in tongues and this and that and the other? Why don't you teach them great spiritual gifts? They think you're a prophet. He said, how can I teach them algebra when they don't know their ABCs? Anybody that knows algebra knows you use A, B, and C. Glory. What did they do? They spit it out. God said, great. Wonderful. Now, I'll send the evening light in the form of the eyes. Now I'll start saying he's gone off the deep end, especially after the seals. Oh, he's messed up bad after the seals. And we're saying, glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The light come open. The word come open after the seals. And the tongue will send like, blah, 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 blah. He's crazy. Blah, 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 blah. He's out of his mind. Blah, 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 blah. I know there's people in this church that are still under that tongue dispensation. You're still wagging it. Is a person under the mind of Christ ever a busybody in the church? It can't be. You look at troublemakers in a church, I'll show you a person that does not operate under the mind of Christ. They can't. Well, so it moves up into here. Then God opens up the seals. Out of the seals, it's like a Roman candle. It went, Out of that, kept unfolding until 1965. He said it's unfolding, happening so fast out there in that desert, I can't even keep up with it. Now watch, he says, here's the secret. The word is in the bride. And the mind of Christ to know what he wants done with the word. See, a lot of folks are in the message think it's just sufficient to hand it out. Give it out in book form, tape form, you know, go to a certain website, www.whatever.com, and that's all you need to do. Just sit and listen, and that's where they think that's all you have to do. Just play a tape, play a sermon of Brother Donnie or sermon of Brother Tim or somebody like that. That's all you gotta do. No, that's not all you gotta do. The mind of Christ will instruct you in your life as an individual. Friend, this is not for prophets only. This is not for preachers only. It's for every individual in this church whose name is on that book of life. That you find your place in the word and there you stay until you're dead or you're changed. You said that is so simple. It's one of the hardest things you'll ever do in your life. You think making a million was hard. Baloney. Making $1 million is nothing compared to finding your place and staying there. I'd rather do that than be the richest man in the world. If I had the title to the whole earth, if I owned Hollywood, if I owned all 50 states, if I owned the European Union, I'd rather be able to find my place in Christ and abide there and let the mind of God speak out of me than be the richest man in the world. Lord Jesus. Watch this. She does it in his name. She has. How is that possible? How can she have thus saith the Lord? Oh, Brother Donnie, that's simple. She's carrying it around in tapes. You poor, deluded person. Notice, she has thus saith the Lord. Then it is germatized. So the Holy Spirit waters it until it is grown and serves its purpose. they do only His will. Amen. He said, I believe that. No one can persuade you different. Now look at your own life and I'll look at mine and see how far we're beneath this when we let folks talk us out of the will of God. This is what God wants us to be. With His mind flowing through us, Brother Skip, and then, well, so-and-so said so-and-so and so-and-so. My mama said and daddy said and so-and-so. Friend, that ain't what God wants for you. Your daddy sometimes can lead you in the right way and sometimes he can't. Sometimes, oh, come on now. Folks that you love around you, they'll be the greatest hindrance that you've got in your life. Brother Bram said the bride ain't got a big family. The bride don't listen to her grandpa and her grandma. But the bride has the mind of Christ to know what He wants done with the Word. And she has thus saith the Lord. Can't you see why most message folks will never be able to move from here? They'll never move from here. Only the elect can be able to move up into here. And see, people get all scared and all tore up. Oh my goodness, are you saying we'll leave the eyes behind? Did I leave my feet behind this morning? Did I leave my legs at the house? Did I leave my mouth? No, you've done heard enough of it, you know I didn't. I need it. I need my eyes to read these quotes. But I need an intelligence to be able to follow the Spirit of God, to know what to say it, how strong to say it, and to know when I've said enough. My eyes can't tell me I've said enough. My eyes can't tell me go here, go there. I need a divine intelligence to lead me every day of my life. Can't you see, friends, why folks that only go as far as the eyes, if they don't have a quote to tell them what to do, they don't know what to do. They're totally lost. They have no personal leadership. Do you think it was just by chance? One of the very last sermons that Brother Branham preached before he's fixing to leave was leadership. He's fixing to leave. What's one thing the bride is going to need? Leadership. He didn't preach this man or that man or that man. After I'm gone, this one will take my place and that will take my place and that will take my place. Ain't nobody ever take his place. Who in their right mind would want it anyhow? He fulfilled it and done it well. But what's the bride going to need? Leadership. What's this? He says, they have thus saith the Lord. Or they. If you don't get nothing else of what I preach today, how different our lives would be in this church if we would operate it by this one simple quote. Lord Jesus, they have thus saith the Lord, if they keep still, then they will do the works of God. For it is Himself in them, continuing His word. Notice, continuing His word to fulfill, as He did not complete it in His day. Notice, He said all things when He was here. He did not complete all when He was here. It was not time yet. So Jesus, in that form, left a great portion of His word unfulfilled so He could go change Himself and come back in the form of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and then get in the body and continue the same work. Lord have mercy. It would be Him in another form. Don't you understand? This is a great drama to Him. He went in behind the sea and He changed His actor's garments and He come out, glory! And He come out as what? The church. Lord Jesus. Notice this identification. We're invited by God to take Him, speaking about Christ, as an example. And let our character be molded. Listen to these words. They're beautiful. Like his. What a thing, my. That when we let his character be in us, then we have become sons. By having, notice what part? Not feet, not legs, not thighs, tongues, ears. Watch it now. You are not becoming sons of God by having eyes. Your vindication, my friends, as a real believer, is by having the mind. You understand, our doctors have become so far advanced in science. If you get an ear cut off with a knife, a chainsaw, whatever, and your ear is tore all two pieces. I read a thing not long ago where a man had got burned. He was painting his church. He was a Baptist guy. He was a professional painter. He got into the electrical wires on top of the church. Got into the wires and burned him. Oh my, just unbelievable. Burned off his face. So they took skin from his leg. He just grafted like from here up. And all it was just a smooth piece of skin. Had no mouth, no ears, no eyes, no nose. Had a hole right here that he talked out of. But the United States Army, because so many of our boys get wounded by hand grenades and things like that, they paid for this man, the first one in history, to have a face transplant. Because so many of our soldiers get wounded. So this man decided to be basically a guinea pig and allow the government to pay for him to have a face plant. So another man was killed and they was able to save his face. So they took his face off and put it on the face of this other man. And I saw the pictures and then I saw the videos. I went and clicked on this news thing. And you're this guy. Glory. You're this guy that brought him out and led him up to a table. His wife and his daughter sitting there. His mouth was still twisted and drawn. To you and I, it would look like he was still deformed. But he had a new face. And a picture of his little girl taking her hand up and rubbing it on daddy's face and saying, my daddy is so beautiful. My daddy is so beautiful. Oh, that's well and good, but I didn't just need a face. I needed a brain. Intelligence. They can transplant lips. They can do difference of things. But my friend, they cannot transplant the brain. Oh, glory. It's connected to too many lines and too many nerves and too many this and that and the other. And the church may try to produce a bride. They may try to produce a so-called bride's revival. But only God can put the mind in the body. We may add lips. We may add ears. We may add feet. And we may have loud music. But only God can set the mind of Christ in an individual soul. Did you see it can be impersonated all the way up to right there? But once it moves from there into here, Lord Jesus. Notice, Brother Ram says, then we let his character be in us when we become sons. By having the mind of Christ. Mind. Which is his character. Your mind makes your character. Let the mind, Paul said of Christ, this mind that was in Christ be in you. Let the mind of Christ be in you. It molds the character of a son of God. You see how many folks around us, friends, cannot produce this word? They're trying from this part of the body to make the rest of the body obey the word. I shouldn't cut my hair. I shouldn't wear makeup. I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't. Some of them will move on up in here. I know I need to quit listening to women. I know I can't. I'll tell you. I know I need to quit doing that. I know. But for those who allow the mind of Christ to sit down in, then it ties the eyes in with the ears, in with the nose,
in with the mouth, down to the chin, ties the entire body together. That our body still ain't converted, and the eyes may look, but the intelligence says, turn your head. Come on! The body may be tempted to do this and that and the other, but the mind. Can't you see why there must be a mystical body reach the state of the mind on the earth? Lord Jesus, look at this on the seventh seal. May I pass this on to you? When the supernatural comes in, that's the mind of Christ. Again, in Christ, the mystery of God revealed, if you have the mind of Christ, Christ expresses himself through you. You say, but I'm a woman. Exactly. And you sisters can wear your hair from two realms. You can wear your hair long because you're afraid I'll preach on you. Or you can wear it from the realm of the mind. That it's Jesus in you. Jesus in you as a housewife. Letting your hair grow out because Jesus wants it long. All of those who backside from the message and cut it off, you realize they've been living from the mind. There's living from here or here or here or here. You brothers, oh my, if I could do this, if I could do that, or if I could, all you need to do is allow this mind that was in Christ Jesus to be in you. Brother Donnie, do you know you're preaching something that's totally impossible? I do. I realize that. Totally impossible. Absolutely, totally impossible. But yet, absolutely, totally possible. Totally impossible for me and you. Totally possible for him. Exactly what he wanted you to understand in here. Can I go a bit farther? Now watch, he says. Oh my. If you have the mind of Christ, Christ expresses himself through you. It shows that it's him and not you've lost your mind. So that some of your families and friends think have happened to you. And one of the first things they say is, they're in a cult. And then people give them guidelines to go by. Do they change the way they look? Yep. Blue jean skirts. Yep. Oh, no. Does the pastor drink regular water or colored Kool-Aid? That's always a sign to look for. Is it colored? Oh, my goodness. Just beware. Don't drink from his cup. Why? Don't hurt me. It's Gatorade. It ain't going to hurt you. Why? Because they're looking to where you've been brainwashed. It's our soul that God washed. And then they think they make them do that. They make the women. We don't make anybody do anything. This is the peculiar part. If you're born from heaven, you want to. And you just don't understand why everybody else don't want to. Look at this, how simple it is. Lord Jesus, I wonder if you got this out of this message, Christ the mystery of God revealed. When Christ takes you over. Any of y'all ever seen by demon possessed? I know you have. We've had experiences of it here. How they gain supernatural strength. We've seen it. Dealt with it years and years in Pentecost. You take a little bitty old man or a little bitty old woman, my goodness, take a half a dozen big old men to try to hold them down. Why? They were took over. Well, when Jesus takes you over them, you may not run and scream and tear your clothes off. As a matter of fact, whenever Jesus gets a hold of you, you'll put them on. Legion was found naked because he lived for the devil. But whenever Jesus got a hold of it, He was sitting closed and in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. Oh, glory. This man was out of his mind, but he had something imparted by Jesus. Don't you see, church? We want to get beyond, I think, I believe, this is what I believe will produce a rapture. How do you know you ain't never had one? Why should I take your word for what it'll take to produce a rapture when you ain't never been in no rapture? I think I'll stick with a man who had one. Bear with me a few more minutes. You can go eat a little bit. I'm eating awful good right now. When Christ takes you over, He'll express that word right through you. Because it's Him. He is the Word. And then you can see the expression of Christ. Not some illusion of some sort, but a real, genuine Christ expressing Himself right through you. And I ask you, friend, isn't this really the epitome of what we all want? Isn't this really, Brother Terry, the bottom line when we go through all of our doctrines and all of our great preaching and all of the things that we do? Isn't this the bottom line of what the message is for? Yeah. To produce Christ in the individuals, not just in the pulpit? This is why this must be accomplished. I'm not giving to you a dream today. I'm not giving to you a fictitious story made up by a madman somewhere. I'm giving you a foreshadow of things to come. I have no idea how many. I don't know when. I do not know how many from this church. But I do know there will be a group of people on the earth in the last days. May not be but a handful here and a handful there and a handful somewhere else. But they will move into that cycle to where that the mind of Christ is so operating through their daily life. They're not walking on water. They're not going out emptying out hospitals. They're just being a Christian every day of their life. And letting their spirit witness and testify that even sinners can get around them and know there's something different about you. And because you got your quote book packed under your arm. I don't want to be that kind of a Christian. That the only way people know I'm a believer is when I got a license tag on my car or an eagle belt buckle. I want something projecting from my spirit that a sinner can know there's something different about that man. Notice Brother Branham referring to the seven virtues of the stature of a perfect man. Oh, isn't that wonderful? He said that God, through that, has brought seven church ages. To show seven steps that He brought building His individual into this image, His image. He's built a complete church in His image. And at the resurrection, this complete body will be raised up to live with Him forever. Because it is a bride. Now, if the resurrection set in today, for the Lutherans only, we'll say at 1 o'clock. And the Lutherans were raised from the dead. They could not go to heaven. Heaven's not made for feet. If the Wesleys raised with them, heaven is not made for feet and up to here. Glory. Listen to me. If it raised even up to Brother Branham, it cannot raise until every one of those members in that book of life has been called. Because it's not an individual. It's not a hand group, a handful of people that's following a certain selective doctrine. It is the Word made flesh. Notice this. He says, you get it. Help us, God. These people who died in here. Now he's drawn the chart out of the pyramid and he's pointing to this chart. These people who died in here are depending and waiting us. Lord, have mercy. So this church has got to come to perfection in order to bring the resurrection. Do you understand, friends? Most of the Christians in this world have no idea why the resurrection has not already happened. What's even more sad than that is a lot of message folks don't either. They really don't even know, Brother Jim. They have no idea why the resurrection, the rapture, has not already happened. They think they're waiting on Brother Branham to come back, or they're waiting for this or that. That's what they're thinking. Oh my, it must be that. Where have you been all these years? The resurrection and the rapture is hinged on one simple fact. When that last name, it ain't based on Jesus. So, you know, in the morning, Jesus will say, I think I'll have the rapture today. That's a great idea. Man, I wish I'd thought of that yesterday. What do you think is going to motivate him? What is it that will come from the inner sanctum of God's presence? For even Jesus himself didn't know when he was here. But what is it that will synchronize the events on the earth that they will be synchronized with heaven? What will release him from his color of brass? What will release him from among the zooms to come and get us? When you say Russia, baloney. Catholic Church, the Catholic Church. Whatever's got to happen with Russia and the Catholic Church and Obama and his mama and everybody else, God could set it in motion and 30 seconds from now it could all be done. Glory to God. What is it then? Me. Oh, but Brother Donnie, man, if he's waiting on me, it'll never be. Oh no, you're totally wrong. He'll have it in spite of you. He'll have it in spite of me. It ain't got nothing to do with me as a human being. Be ready. I'll never be ready. I'll never be ready as far as me looking at myself, because I'm looking at human perfection. That's not what he even wants. You might as well say amen and accept the fact you will never be a perfect human being. And some of you disappoint yourself every day and you strive for human perfection and you'll never have it. Lord Jesus. So this church has got to come to perfection in order to bring the resurrection. Their souls under the altar, waiting for this church to come to its perfection. Again, he says, we find out now the time comes when the trumpet sounds, and those sleeping saints back there that could not be made perfect without us, they're depending on us. Hebrews 11, and when they come together, they unite with the living ones. The church uniting with the Word. Then the church and the Word uniting together. Don't you understand? The sequence of the events is just this simple right here. The church uniting with the Word now. Then you will unite with Him. Lord Jesus. The church uniting with the Word. Then the church and the Word uniting together. Becoming one. The dead saints with the living saints. Uniting together to be one. And all going together to unite with Christ. For the wedding supper of the Lamb. Let me close. And the church in this day. That's received the token. Of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That the blood has been shed. And that the Holy Ghost is upon the church. Without us then,
they cannot raise. They're depending on us. Paul, Peter, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Bartholomew. Can we move on up? Even Brother Branham. Some of you waiting on Brother Branham, you got it backwards. He's waiting on you. Glory to God! Hallelujah! He's waiting on the bride in this last day to produce what he preached, to set the resurrection in motion. Lord have mercy.
Amen.
They're depending on us, for God promised he would have it. And somebody is going to be there. Oh my, I don't know who it's going to be, but somebody's going to receive it. The only thing I'm responsible is preach it. It's God's business to look out for that predestinated seed. There is going to be there, though, because they're going to be there, each one of them. Watch this, and I'll close. The water age, the blood age, and now the token age of the Holy Ghost. Stand. Listen to this in desperation after he preached the token that morning. In the last days, the seven seals being opened was to pick up every straggle that's been left off in it and make the whole thing in one great big body of the bride. That them who live back there was not perfect until this church be perfected. This bride group in the last days to bring them in. And all together will be taken up. How could that Old Testament body ever enter in with him in his resurrection? They were flawed. They had failures, had mistakes. But when God set the head down on the entirety of that body, it perfected that whole body. And the bride body on the earth living in the last days being the word and the headship being returned into the body will bring that body to such a state of perfection, completion, maturity. The dynamics will charge our mechanics. And when it does, it will set in motion the resurrection. Brother Bram said it proves that the rapture is at hand. Because life is in the body again. It's the vindication that the rapture is at hand because the life is in the body. Please, I don't want this church to emphasize one doctrine, this man, that man, that man. What do y'all accuse me of? What do you want to accuse me of? What do you want to accuse me of trying to lead you to? Me? God try to lead you to me if I ask you for your money? If I begged you for things, if I tried to lead you off on some kind of false doctrine to follow this man and that man, what am I preaching to you? Christ. What am I trying to bring before you? Don't look at me. Don't look at other men. Follow Christ Jesus. I want life in this body.
Lord have mercy. It's just as sure as there's a God in heaven. It'll strike the earth one day. And all of those with the intelligence, it'll move through them. Will have already released from under the altar of God. Therefore, if you have died and entered into the theophany, what happens? If you're on the earth, you take the body to meet the theophany. But if you're there, you bring the theophany to meet the body. So the whole thing is you anyway.
You bring the body or you bring the offense. You in charge. You say, how can that be? The intelligence. How would I know what to tell the offense to do? I won't without the intelligence. I needed eyes to lay out the plan. This, don't do this, do this, don't do that, don't do that. We looked at them denominations for years. We didn't see no harm. We didn't see no danger. Let me shock you. Brother Man didn't either. Brother Ben said himself, for one time in my life, now I know how I've been against that organization. He said, I was right around it all those years and didn't even know it. I didn't even see it. Why? The eye time arrived for him. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, I pray today, Father. I trust that I was able to make sense of it all, where they could be able to walk away from here, Lord, with an understanding. I always worry that I didn't make it plain enough or simple enough, or I'm just a mortal that makes mistakes in my presentation. But would you take your word? Would you quicken it to us today, Lord? We thank you for our feet. We're grateful for our hands, our tongues, our lips, our ears. Oh, how we thank you for our eyes. But how we thank you for intelligence, for the mind of Christ. Lead us, Lord God. It's sad, Lord. It's so sad. We don't say things, Lord, to make fun of people. Remember the message people? They think all the message is about is just for people to rally and gather and play tapes, and they push the message, the message, the message, the message, the message. Tapes, 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 tapes. They feel like somehow it's magical. They quoted it for years. They believe it, that rapture and faith lays on the tapes. Brother Bam never even said it. But they won't refrain from it because it blows their balloon up. They believe somehow that there's some type of magical something that just by listening to them one day they'll catch it. And they keep focusing on the eyes, the eyes, the eyes, the eyes. They talk more about the eyes than they do the intelligence. Forgive us, Lord. How we thank you for the eyes. But we're not marrying the eyes. We want to marry the head. Christ. Help us today, Lord Jesus. May you minister to every heart, Lord God. I know that you're still in the work of creation. I don't know that the universe is still expanding. Scientists say that it is. That it's still going and going and going. I don't know for sure. I don't know if there's suns that are still being spoken into existence because that word of yours is still traveling at 186,000 miles per second. There may be more stars and more planets unfolding even while we stood here today. I don't know. I don't know. But I do know this. You are creating your bride. It is an ongoing work. You may have stopped making the earth. You may have stopped making universes. I know you stopped making angels. But you've not stopped in unfolding the creation of your bride. So let the creation of God further unfold itself in us today. May we be the spiritual evolution of God in this day. You started out with me, Lord, in the lower forms of life. A little polywog or a little one-cell animal. And I started unfolding higher forms of life. Higher forms of life. Lord Jesus, continue to unfold your great work in me. Till one day I will step out of this form of life into the higher form of life I was intended to inhabit. Grant it, Lord God. Hallelujah. How many loves him with all your heart? Let me read you this, friends, in invisible union. Listen to these words. Justification under Luther. Sanctification, says Saint. That's pulling his bride out now. He's creating his bride. Do you understand that you are an ongoing work of creation? 6,000 years he unfolded the creation on the earth. Brother Bam said it's like he was learning more all along. Higher forms of life, higher forms of life.
Don't you see that's what he's doing in us? Unfolds more, Brother Jim, and more, and we walk in that, and he unfolds more. Let him continue the work of creation in you. He's creating his bride. Justification under Luther, sanctification under Wesley, and so forth, you see. The evolution of the Spirit. Being given more and more. Because the body is building. Coming to the head. Which is Christ. The body of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just raise our hands now if you would. Close your eyes. Let's just take a few minutes now before we go for your dinner. We would be quite honored today if the President of the United States walked in this place. The senators, the mayor, the governor of Tennessee. But my friends, who has been here with us this entire service? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Once again, he has showed us in a very simple way, from the feet to the head. May he make it more real to us by revelation. Can't you see Paul is depending on you? Luther, Wesley, your mama, she's gone. Your grandpa, your daddy, if he's gone. Millions of saints, those who died under the Roman martyrdom, they're waiting on you. They're in their theophanies now, but they want a human body, a glorified human body. And they will not be allowed to take it until the Lamb takes the book, the bride. The book, the bride. And once he takes the book, it will release you the final stage to go back like Adam was. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Why don't you just, you and your way there in his presence, just ask him to search your heart, your life. If there's anything there that displeases him, that he can show it to you, that you can move up a little higher today. I wish I could tell you that we could pray a simple prayer this morning and would be all the way advanced as far as where we need to go for the rapture. But I know that's out of continuity the way he does things. He does it in the form of creation, spiritual evolution, as it evolves from one stage to another. So today, maybe you'll be able to go from this stage of where you are in your walk with God into another spiritual stage of evolution. It may not be a great gigantic step, but maybe just one small thing that you got out of the service, and it'll be a building block for your body change. Praise God. Now all together. Oh, hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we so love you today, Father. Lord, anymore, it doesn't seem that we grow in leaps and bounds. It doesn't seem that it was the way it was years ago when we growed and growed, and our leaps of growth were so vast. Then, of course, we know it's as the pyramid being honed. I know myself, Lord, whenever I build something, and if I start out with a rough piece of wood, I may use 80 grit or 120 grit. I'll open the grain of the wood, and then I'll stain it. And then, Lord, I'll put a base coat of some sort of sealer on it. And then I'll start using finer grain until I get finer and finer. And then, Lord, I have 4,000 grit sandpaper. To most people that wouldn't be aware of it, it would feel just like a piece of paper they would write on. It's so fine. But then on that finished coat, I want a high sheen. I'll take water and put on top of that, just a light, thin coat. And I'll take that 4,000 grain sandpaper, grit sandpaper, and I'll rub it with the grain ever so lightly. And it'll produce a sheen, a shine, a buffing effect. Lord, I pray you'd help us. Help us not become discouraged. Lord, maybe some of these people's between the finished coats. Well, they remember the life of this girl, and they was in the 80 grit day and the 120 grit day. Boy, they made such drastic changes so fast. It seemed like, Lord, it's slower and slower. But it's reaching them final stages where maybe there's one little hair, Lord. I bet listened to Scotty and Mantle the other day, and I finished it there, Lord, and I saw one little tiny piece of a bristle in the top part of that mantle. You know me, my picky nature. I couldn't stand it. So I had to sand it down and take it off and put another coat on it. I know you and your picky nature. You don't want no grit, no grains, nothing of the world. So sand me down, Lord. How many ever times you got to do, Lord God? I know this time it won't be with a belt sander. Many of us are past the rip stage of going through us all. We're at that finishing stage. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Help us, Lord. Maybe there's some here that are still at that rough stage. And Lord, they got things that need to be cut off. Help them. It's amazing how you as the master builder can deal with people in all kinds of stages of their life. Take us today, Lord. Maybe some of these people are farther along than I am. They're waiting on me. Help me, Lord God. I don't want to hold them up. Help each of us today, Father, I pray. In Jesus' name. Mold me, Lord. Shape me, Lord. I know you can't throw me away because it would be unbecoming for you to throw away a letter of your word. If I ain't nothing but just a punctuation mark. Glory to God. You said in your word not even one jot or one tittle will be thrown away. Oh, glory, Lord, I might not even be a word. I might not even be a letter in the Hebrew alphabet. I may not be nothing but a period. But Lord God, let me hold my place in the punctuation of God's great stanza. Credit, Lord Jesus. Credit, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Praise the Lord. Just tell him, friends, in your own way. Lord, look at my heart. Look at my life. Look at me, Lord. Do what you need to do with me. Mold me. Shape me. Make me into what you want me to be, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord God. Praise the Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Would you turn and lay your hand on that person standing by you? Let's offer a word of prayer for them before we go. Lord Jesus, as these believers have their hands one upon the other. Lord, I know from the prayer requests, there's different ones that are sick and got needs in their body, needs in their homes and their jobs. May the Spirit of God, I pray, move for them today. Heavenly Father, though the emphasis of this day is not the signs and the wonders and the healing campaigns, but you're still in the healing business. As a matter of fact, divine healing is a down payment of the resurrection. So Lord God, I pray your healing virtue would go through this congregation this morning, Lord. May the power of God go through this congregation. Encourage those that are down. Lift up those that are weary, Lord God. Those feeble hands that hang down low and they feel so discouraged. May the presence of God lift them today, Lord. Encourage your people. Encourage your bride to stand and rise to meet the challenge of this day, Lord. It's not just about Happy Valley. It's not just about us. The entire saints of all the ages wait on us to come to this place of perfection. Grant it, Lord God. Grant it, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
I seek you.
Yes, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
The more I find you.
Let's just sing it now before we go. Hallelujah.
The more I find you. The more I find I love you. Sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe. Feel
it's overwhelming. The more I seek you, the more I find you. The more I worship you.
Bless you, saints. Go in the fear of God. Remember this week, some of our young people from our church here and other young people from different places will be traveling down to the youth camp in Louisiana. So I want you to pray for them that God will just go before them. Pray for the ministers. God will help them. Brother Amos going to South Africa. Brother David Seiler already there. Different brothers traveling in different directions for different meetings. I myself will be going to South Carolina this week. Be with Brother Jason there. So certainly desire your prayers. Oh, my. The resurrection is on. The revealed word has been quickened to the hearts of his people. Can't you see why? It's done in motion. There's no way to stop it now. He broke the atom of the resurrection. It has been loosed. Oh, glory. There's no way to stop it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God bless you.
Hallelujah.
Go in the fear of God. I love you in the Lord. I worship you. Almighty God. There is none like you. I we
There's a day that's drawing near when this darkness breaks to light and the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eyes. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. Victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when He calls my name. Sing, word.